Apparently, there's a new survey that came out from Retirement Living, and it shows that Connecticut is considered to be one of the worst states to retire in. Not a great thing when we've got an aging population here, and we have a lot of people who want to age in place. For example, the criteria apparently in this survey included cost of living, economic strength, and quality of life. Again, Connecticut ranking 7th worst in the country. Joining us now is State Senator Tony Huang, who is the ranking senator on the Aging Committee here in Connecticut. Senator Huang, welcome back. And what were your initial thoughts when you heard about this survey?
My initial thoughts, and good morning, Melissa, it's a mixed rating in regards to some of the data points that are used to report this kind of finding. But I want to segue and just offer that to our veterans and their families, a big thank you. And what an honor to follow Brian Turkle from Port 5. Port 5 is such a wonderful homestead for our military veterans. And it's a perfect segue because, according to the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, there's about 65 years and over veterans in Connecticut. They constitute about 56% of the veteran populations at this state. There's 105,000 veterans age 50, 65 and over in Connecticut.
Wow.
Huge, right? And we see them. We see them in the parades. We see them at the ceremonies. They are, in fact, significantly impacted by this report. And the challenge is the report cites affordability and cost of living. And it also talks about the taxation. And one of the challenges they also mentioned is health care disparity. And I think that is one of the biggest factors, Melissa, in the differential, because in some respects, Connecticut is also a great state for our seniors. We have one of the highest life expectancy for our senior populations. Seniors in Connecticut live longer than any other state. We have great Medicare access that's uncertain right now. We have an attractive state for retirees and senior population growing. And we're trying very hard in the Aging Committee to support aging in place. But I think the biggest factor in the differential of how we impact seniors in the state of Connecticut is income disparity.
Mm. What do you mean by that, Senator Huang? When you say income disparity, some people are going to think that's the uber rich versus the uber poor, but are you talking about the middle class, essentially?
I think it in the middle class, there's an incredible struggle and impact.
I think so, too.
On cost of living,
yes.
Affordability,
healthcare,
utility rates,
mm-hmm.
property taxes. When you're looking at our seniors that have built a comfortable life, loving to live in Connecticut, then all of a sudden to see that their homes are paid for, but their property taxes continue to increase, and that their utility bills increase, their food costs increase. They are not keeping up with some of the incredible high rising cost of living and affordability in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Another part is in regards, if you're fixed on Medicare without getting the supplemental plans, then you're going to be able to have a different level of care. And aging in place, it's an incredibly high cost. But if you have the means, you have some of the best health care in the world. You have
right. If you have the means,
expectancy.
Like
that
you
is,
said.
I think, one of the biggest factors. And mm-hmm. and when you think about the data point, and I read the report, that two of the worst cities to live in for seniors are New Haven and Bridgeport. You look at the economic disparity. But also, when you look at the two best states that they talk about living, also in the Northeast, as New Hampshire and Maine, you see that even though it's in the Northeast and the cost of living, you see the cost differential. You see the access and the affordability cost. So, and I know you spent time up in that area. You understand it isn't a rich state per se.
No, in fact, Vermont is probably one of the poorest states in the country. And it always shocked me as a reporter when I found out that more than 70% of the roads are rural. They are dirt roads. They don't even have the money to keep up with infrastructure. But you are correct, though. The quality of life in Vermont is incredible. Even though it's a very poor state, It is a different type of living, I think, in the upper part of the Northeast. You are correct.
It is a different kind of burden. So, you know, as I walk in, up and down Main Street talking to many seniors and going to our senior centers, the reality is they live a comfortable life and they love the state. Mm. But the problem is when they're on a fixed income and they see utilities costs continue to increase, mm-hmm. property taxes. So when we have these kind of debates about property taxes, yes, different age level, different income level can absorb some of the costs. But for many of our seniors and many of the economically struggling paycheck to paycheck, an incremental increase in property taxes, in food prices, and gasoline prices really hurts people. So I think one of the hardest things we have to do in public policy is to understand that affordability affects people in different ways. Mm-hmm. But in regards to our seniors, and as it ties into our veteran senior population, we have an important responsibility to ensure that we address the issue of affordability, cost of living, and the quality of care. So in the aging committee, what we can do has been the fact that we're looking to support aging in place, being able to have respite care for those caregivers that care for loved ones that are ill or has Alzheimer's, that one of the little things that we can do is to be able to offset some of the burden of care of loved ones and caregivers, but also to help our seniors and their families support aging in place. It's incredibly costly. It's incredibly complicated. And one of the things that we hope to do with policymakers is, you know, ultimately try to reduce costs, Melissa. But ultimately, the little incremental things we're doing is to support these kind of supplemental services that increases the quality of life and access to care mm-hmm. for our value seniors. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a household where we had three generations under one roof.
That's so
Melissa,
cool.
You talk about that a lot as
Yeah, we had three generations under one roof. Yeah, same here. No, and that's just it. The idea of if you have the means to have a senior age in place, which we did. We were very blessed to be able to do that with my grandmother, you know, sweet graham cracker for as long as she lived. But not everyone has that opportunity. And I think it was also even during a different time. I mean, what we're living in right now is different than even what it was 5 years ago. We've got State Senator Tony Huang here, and he also is not just the ranking member for the Aging Committee, but also for the Transportation, Insurance, and Real Estate Committees. And so that insurance part is what I want to get his reaction to. This was a press conference this week, and Senator Martin Looney had said that because of what we're seeing with what's happening in the federal government and the government shutdown, and not seeing those subsidies probably get renewed for people in their health insurance, the public option is once again probably going to be on the table. In fact, Governor Lamont was asked about it, and this was his response.
I think we do one step at a time. we have a lot on our plate. But
So he's not saying no, but this will be now what, Senator Huang, the third year in a row we try to get a public, I mean more than that. But we try to get a public option. And the thing that, of course, I selfishly am worried about is that people who are the middlemen, the brokers, my father, my husband, my brother, are out of a job because you don't really need the brokers if you've got a public option in place.
Melissa, it's been at least 5 or 6 years of an ongoing saga. And what people don't fully understand as we're going through right now for our brokers that are really the informational conduit for very complicated health care insurance products. I'm sharing with you the value of brokers earn every single dollar and being able to understand their clients and manage the process to cater and to be able to educate and inform what services are available and its impact on people's health care. So they're important players and shareholders in this engagement. What people need to understand about the public option is the federal shutdown was purely on this basis of a debate of health care subsidies in which we are providing supplemental care as part of the Affordable Care Act to give subsidies to provide and reduce the real cost of health care insurance to those economically struggling. And we talked earlier about our seniors. But the problem is, when you think about the public option in Connecticut, it really is looking at a state-run health insurance program that's going to replace the private marketplace. And it's called the Partnership Program. Now we're in version 2.0. One, it provides to low non-deductible points of services for non-state employees that are municipalities, subdivisions of political municipalities, board of educations, and quasi-publics. So it's one where it's kind of a public option, state-run government insurance. But the problem is, where state government manages healthcare insurances, they use taxpayer money to bear the financial burden of delivering healthcare and risk management. We're not very good at that, and the partnership has been heavily subsidized by our state budget process. So it's actually almost like a redux of the Affordable Care Act, a partnership in seeing how it's run. So one of the biggest challenges we have is healthcare cost is unsustainable and unaffordable. We've talked about this many years in regards to the rate increases in the individual and the small group marketplace. But ultimately, we have been trying in the General Assembly, hopefully in a bipartisan basis, and I want to compliment Governor Lamont for trying to initiate some policy changes, mm-hmm. one of which that we did successfully do in bipartisan is to benchmark. Benchmark
right,
is,
I remember that, yep. Yeah, only because, Senator Wong, I know we are running out of time, but I do want to, so it sounds like obviously you guys are focused on this, but I'm not surprised that this could come up again during the legislative session in February. And as we get closer to that, I would like to continue having this conversation. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. We have a jam-packed show, which you know how that works. I apologize. But I do appreciate you. I know that you're on top of it. And maybe we can sideline this and come back to it and have more conversations on it in the near future with you. I really appreciate you. Thank you, Senator Wong, so, so much.